Thank you for continuing on with us. We are broadcasting live from the Kuala Lumpur Convention Center here at KLCC. We are talking about sustainability and social impact because we're attending the Hasanah Forum here in conjunction with AVPN. Astro Awani is the official media broadcaster for this conference that will take place over the next 3 days. On my left is actually Zarina Ismail, the co-founder of Drop and Wash, a sustainability or a sustainable laundry and wet cleaning. Apparently, I just found out that is the new version of dry cleaning. Let's talk a bit about drop and wash per se before we jump to all the other questions.
Thank you, Ibrahim. Well, drop and wash is a sustainable wet cleaning. Wet cleaning means it's the alternative to traditional dry cleaning because traditional dry cleaning uses toxic chemical, which is perchlorotrin, which is crude oil basically. So imagine your clothes are being cleaned by oil. That's not right, right?
Yeah, it's not right. Right. Doesn't sound good.
Yeah. Mm. So, in the early 2000s, there is a Paris Agreement being pressured. So, most of the European country within 2020 has changed to wet cleaning, which is a sustainable nature. Because traditional dry cleaning is actually toxic chemical. So, it was polluting the environment and also the users. So imagine us, the workers as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's not good. And it's also cancerous in nature.
Yeah. There's a lot of businesses like yours that are adopting for greener options, greener solutions. Yeah. And most of this, if not all, is actually self-regulating and you're adopting this by yourself. One idea that I want to look at is in terms of how can government or other stakeholders impose greener measures and greener solutions in order for these corporates and corporations to actually adopt and comply with.
You see, we've been always been trying to advocate this green system by speaking to all other authorities, the municipality, the councils, the bandarayas and whatnot, you know. And you see, if in England, for example, if you want to open up a traditional dry cleaning, you need to get a proper license. In Malaysia, we do not have. I think in South Asia, we're still back end. You know, we're still behind in that knowledge.
Even in Singapore.
Even in Singapore, so everybody can just open up. Nobody cares where it goes to, you know. But in actual fact, you actually have to go to Quality Alam to dispose the perchlorotrin that's being used by traditional dry cleaners. So when we changed it to wet cleaning, we no longer need to do that, you see, because it is biodegradable and it can go flow into the sewerage. Even the fish, if it goes into the washing machine, it won't die, basically, because there is no toxic. You see? So we are hoping to work together with all corporate agencies, all municipalities, government bodies to enforce and have a proper license so that people actually dispose it properly.
Yeah. Yeah. Right now, where does it sit in terms of the issuances of these licenses within the government structure?
Within the government structure, I would say it's the municipality. They just issue a business license, that's it. Only thing these days, they are more concerned about the gas issue. Okay? But in terms of the full service laundry and the coin operator, it's totally different market altogether. It is interesting to note that this laundry business industry in this Malaysia, right, is actually valued about 3 billion worth of GDP, in which 80% goes to retail, commercial and industrial. Only about 18% goes to the coin laundry operators.
Oh, okay.
So a lot of people are very confused thinking that laundry means coin operator. Even the licensing department, the JTK, the KDN, they're always giving wrong information to the ministry level saying that we don't need, for example, to get foreign workers because we have changed our business model to the coin laundry. But in actual fact, it's not. So they have to engage with us. We have Mula, for example, our association, okay, we've also engaged with the bandarayas, the ministries, the KPs, the special officers to inform them that there is more to wash, dry and fold in laundry. So imagine if the hotel do not have enough linens. What happens?
No idea. I mean,
you can't check in into your room, right?
Yeah, but
because the laundry is not functioning. Mm. So it's the same thing. So they need to engage with us as well, as long as far as we are trying to advocate to them the importance of having sustainability and the importance of licensing at the same time and enforcement of the chemicals.
That's exactly the next point I want to talk about, which comes about on the issue of enforcement. Mm. How do you think local authorities and local government can actually help with the enforcement of compliance with greener approaches and greener methods of doing things?
Well, as far as most importantly, they need to make sure that chemicals which are not sustainable are disposed properly. Mm. So if you want to use toxic chemicals in certain ways, sometimes we still need to use it.
Yeah.
There must be a way to clean it. Mm. There must be a way to dispose it. It's the same about plastic. People say about plastic, but the most important is, how do we dispose the plastic? You know, we can use plastics, but how do you dispose it? You know? So it's the same as the chemicals in laundry as well.
Let's talk about economic viability and financial growth. It may not necessarily, at least in this point of time, to be economically efficient in order for us to adopt for greener practices. That is the thinking right now that people hold. Is that true to start off with?
At the moment now, I think more and more users in the market are changing it. They might not be getting the high premium graded. They might be getting the lower end. But the feel is that in the market they are changing.
So if you basically to paraphrase, if you opt for greener solution, you can actually be economically viable still.
Exactly, yes.
So I mean, only if you want to and you have to try hard, I guess.
Yeah, but I think there's a lot of people who think it's expensive to change.
Is it?
Yeah, because you've already invested into the non-sustainable way and suddenly you need to change. Because there are a lot of people who are still using the non-sustainable way and suddenly they realise that, oh no, we made a mistake, you know, there is a better way of doing it. I mean, come on, this is 2023. You have to start using a greener approach, those non-toxic, the biodegradable solutions. And in Malaysia, we are still growing in terms like fresh water, for example. You know, you can actually inject fresh water back into, you know, to use it back, at least 20% fresh water, and 80% we actually recycle back to avoid wastage at the same time. So these are the technology that Malaysia needs to upgrade, basically. So, but it's expensive, but I see there is potential that we might go into that. Yeah.
Is it then the right time to ask for authorities, both local and federal, to actually incentivize businesses to adopt for this? What kind of incentives that you see the local government and federal government can actually give in order for businesses to adopt greener practices?
Well, there's many ways that they can give, you know, like tax rebates, for example. You know, a lot of the green approach are giving tax rebates, so maybe they should incorporate that as well, you know. And tax rebate is something that everybody in the corporate, the SMEs would love to have, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
So at the same time, you know, you can actually, like for us, we are also accredited social enterprise.
Yeah.
So we can actually implement to give out to the users, for example. You know, like when you buy books, right, towards the end of the year, you can actually claim for tax. So if you allow the users to actually claim tax by using sustainable, greener approach facilities or services, why not give it to them as well?
A big argument right now lies in the form of consumers. If the consumers want it, and if the consumers want it and put pressure on the authorities and businesses to adopt for greener practices, then change would be faster.
Yes,
do you subscribe to this thinking?
Yes, we are always advocating on that, Ibrahim. We are always going to expos, you know, international expos, to bring back the technology, you know. And then when we come back, we share with the local users, the small micro entrepreneurs, you know, the small laundries, you know. We actually advocate to them so that they too can bring the change And when they engage with the authorities, they too understand that it's important to have this green, sustainable approach, basically. Yeah.
I'd like to remind people that for millennials, we are actually entering our 40s. It's actually the Gen Z and Gen Alpha that is now driving the economy moving forward. Do you feel that Gen Zs and the Generation Alpha now is a little bit more concerned about the environment, more so than the elder generations?
Well, definitely they are. They are very sensitive and conscious about issues which are basically, you know, at their heart, you know, and it affects them basically. So they like things when they see things are innovative, you know, purposeful, impactful. I think the new generation, they appreciate that better. But I wouldn't say that the older generation, the boomers, are not, you know, but
no, they're not.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
we are.
Look at us.
We are, you know, always advocating that, you know, and that, you know, it's not about just, at drop and wash, from very beginning, we are always advocating business beyond profits.
Yeah.
We are always, our key mission is always sustainability, innovation, and purpose. So whatever we do, we always look at all this. So we also adopt our environment, working environment, to be young, bright, air-conditioned, so that the B40s, the marginalized, the young people, the Gen Zs want to come in. Nobody wants to come and work in a hot environment anymore.
Yeah.
You know, so if you come to drop and wash, you'll be shocked, because it's totally different than the traditional dry cleaner or the traditional laundry.
Yeah.
You know, it's cooling, it's bright, so yeah. And there is no smell of toxic chemical.
So over the next 3 days, what are the conversations that you are anticipating to witness, and what kind of takeaways that you think is important for yourself in attending this conference?
Well, we are big on collaboration, pre, post-pandemic. You know, right now, we need to put our costs down, so we need to engage with corporates, learn, and, you know, for them to engage with us. And
and if people want to reach you, how do they do that?
They can always go to www.dropandwash.com, or our hotline is always there, 016-228-0444. Social media, Facebook, Instagram, we are there. So,
fantastic.
Yeah.
So collaboration is, of course, top of the agenda. Another item that you think that you can walk away from this conference, what would it be?
That is always beyond Malaysia. Look beyond Malaysia.
Mm.
You know, if you can't find your mentor in Malaysia, go beyond.
Mm.
You know, my mentor is in Indonesia, in Indonesia. And we are also part
that
of
that market has to be vibrant, right?
Yes, yes, it is. It's like they make a lot of money just on one business. You know, just imagine if you come in and steal a little bit, not steal, just share a little bit,
yeah.
You know,
so,
but it's enough, the cake is enough over there. But what I'm trying to say is that I'm always looking at overseas, like we are always collaborating or in touch with the International Committee of Textile Care for us to learn new market, new technology, and even they are also into sustainability and community work at the same time. Yep.
Thank you very much. It's been an honor speaking with both Zarina
Ismail,
the co-founder of Drop and Wash, and early on we had Kuhn Pati, the founder of Pepper Labs. We're going to be here for 3 days, so do stay tuned with us this entire 3 days to ensure that we can bring to you the latest updates and the latest conversations that is currently happening at the Hasanah Forum in collaboration with AVPN and Astro Awani being the official broadcaster for this day, for these conferences. For now, I am signing off. My name is Ibrahim Sani. We are going to continue to stay with us in terms of bringing you live updates on this channel. We'll be right back after these messages.